Good morning, one and all. Thank you so much for being here this morning for this presentation of the annual results 2017 of the TF1 Group. We'll have the pleasure with Philippe Denery of giving this presentation. I'll skip this slide. We thought that we would organize the presentation around four main highlights. First of all, coming back over the strategy that was announced and implemented, good news, but as you'll see, with quite a few successes, because this year, 2017, was a very positive year for the TF1 group, of course. Philippe will come back over the detailed accounts and walk you through them. Then we'll talk about the challenges for 2018 as we see them, and also the outlook for the group with some guidance in the short and mid-term. First off, what I suggest we do is that we come back over the highlights of the strategy to explain how that all happened and was implemented in the year 2017. First, a few words about TV as a medium. It's important to talk about it. Here we've listed the average viewing time for the people over four. So in 10 years, between 2007 and 2017, there's been a slight increase from 3.27 hours to 3 hours 42, 220 minutes. That's the wood being hidden for the trees, because if you look at the commercial target, you're talking about 3 hours 40. It's rather stable at 3 hours 35. It's a bit less. And if you drill down and look into the details of what's happening, of course, it's still powerful compared to other media like radio and fixed and mobile internet. However, 3 hours, the 215 minutes that we have, or 3 hours 35, break down into 195 minutes linear and 10 minutes of catch-up TV, and 3 minutes of screen, 15 minutes of three screens and more, because Médiamétrie in France has started measuring the three screens. So we are seeing a gradual decline of linear television. For young people, it's particularly more significant, because young people have average viewing times for the 15 to 34 age group of 120 minutes. It's diminishing linearly, but it's increasing for catch-up and also ramping up for the three screens. Of course, the trends are similar to those of the U.S. with a slight erosion of linear TV, but it's slightly offset by catch-up, hence the importance of catch-up for us, and also three screens. As regards coverage, of course, we have 74% of daily coverage for TV, 43 million people. As regards TF1, we have 53% of people, or 31 million people, who watched our coverage on a daily basis. How do we organize all that? I talked about that last year in our group strategy that we called multi-channel. We have two main avenues that we focus particularly on in 2017: editorial content, the power of our content, and content acquisition to create profitability. Regarding editorial power and the way we orchestrate the fact that we have five free-to-air channels and three pay TV channels, the three components of this complementarity in the group, as we can see it in the group and orchestrate it, of course, the result is that ratings went strongly up, 32.3% for the target, plus 0.2 percentage points, which is quite encouraging, because, of course, we are the group that grew the most on the commercial target this year. 0.2 percentage points, France Télévisions was minus 0.6, and Group M6 was at 0.1. 32.3, that's also 27.7 for the 25-49 age group, which is, of course, the preferred target for media agencies. So very good performance, which is partly explained by both strong performance for TF1, but also strong growth for DTT, our DTT activity, which, as you can see at the bottom of the first pillar, is growing. We gained plus 0.5 points compared to last year. Now we have 10.2% for the out of 32.3. That's the whole strategy that we try to implement, that by developing all those channels that you can see in the second pillar, the rebranding and repositioning of the channels that we considered, especially with TMC, that was the first stage in the rocket that was particularly successful, followed at the beginning of the year 2018 with the rebranding of NT1, renamed TFX, and HD1, which became TF1 series and films. There's a threefold advantage that makes our offering more understandable with well-positioned and segmented channels that created also a range effect around a complementary range of brands, and that makes their marketing easier because for us, that's really the sinews of war. Thirdly, the implementation in our programming for these channels, the implementation of multi-channel and multimedia programming. Three examples. You probably saw that the first interview given by the President of the Republic to TF1 was broadcasted jointly with LCI. Big series like Tueurs du Lac started on MyTF1, and you'll also find them on TF1 series and films, and MyTF1 VOD. For sports, we were used to the public broadcasting service using different channels for big sporting events like the Tour de France or the French Open. Well, you'll see that also first half on TF1, second half on TMC for the World Cup. That's what we started doing in January 2017 with the Handball World Cup, which the French won in Paris back then, where the first half was broadcast on TF1 and then switching over to TFC. That's really our implementation of the complementary strategy. Of course, the flagship is still TF1 with strong momentum in the business model that we try to activate via three levers. First of all, firepower and targeting with controlled costs. What's nice this year is that the channel is still one of the most powerful in Europe. It's very rare to have one channel which for the target over four-year-old is at 20%. We really widened the gap with the number two, the M6. We have over 10.5 percentage points as a discrepancy between M6, 22.1% for women under 50, and 19.9% for the age group 25-49. This is the channel for big events with, of course, the introduction in access prime time of quite a few successes like The Wall, game show, and Demain nous appartient, a soap opera produced by Newen. I'll come back to it later in the presentation. It's not enough to have the most powerful channel in France that draws the largest number of French people to watch it. You need to monetize it. The second lever that we used was how to monetize what we call our power ratio in technical terms. That's the differential that shows really the leader premium. We were quite inventive, and I would like to commend our advertising brokerage for their efforts to focus on branding and performance, invent and renew advertising on TV, get people to love advertising on TV. It's not a burden and something boring. It can be a very enjoyable moment, not just for advertisers, but also for our hosts, because in The Voice, we saw Nikos announce a commercial. We invented Broadway commercials with a lot of music, and that our advertisers really played ball. Those that were selected, they had commercials with music. Same thing with for Strictly Come Dancing. Now we also focus a lot on GRP data to connect GRPs with their power, but also cross-reference that with the targets that are promoted by the brokerage. Also 360 deployment, a multimedia strategy, so that now we are able to find commercials on MyTF1, which is the leader for IPTV. 10 million monthly visitors on our replay channels. In the top most watched programs, there's US TV shows, The Voice, Aventurier de Koh-Lanta, and soap operas like Demain nous appartient, or miniseries like L'Amante, or the Red Band Society recently, programs that French people love. And for an advertiser, it's very important to say, well, you can watch my ad campaign also on TF1's replay platform. But what makes our program so strong and characteristic is that they're fresh and local, as the Americans call it. So we call them frais et locaux in French. So you have French drama in the center. A specificity in this country in recent years is that 42 of the 100 best ratings were French drama, and out of 42 best ratings for French drama, 32 were produced or broadcast on TF1. That's really a lot of firepower for us. So in 2017, that was the culmination of all the efforts we made to revamp our drama category. Tour du Lac, there was also Mention Particulière, a young woman taking her with a young woman with Down syndrome taking her high school diploma. We also have a program with the Red Band Society about children in hospital, also big thrillers. We have societal ambitions. We want to talk about things that the nation is passionate about without any taboos anymore, and that's what makes drama so strong. Of course, entertainment is still a strong pillar for TF1. Out of the 100 best ratings, 22 entertainment shows out of 22, all 22 were broadcast by TF1. So, of course, our main franchises, The Voice, Koh-Lanta, that you're all familiar with, which were renewed, that we secured, but it's very important to mention that. But that's not the end. TF1 Group is also a news group with 400 journalists. So LCI, our all news channel, strengthened its position as the number two news channel with 0.6 audience points. Big events, of course, new hosts like Pascal de la Tour du Pin for the morning show and David Pujadas for the evening show. And also our news bulletins. If you've kept an eye on the new developments on that, there was a lot of change in for the big competitor, France Télévisions. Here we've listed September 2017 with the back-to-school season with the new hosts, the new anchor men and women until 2018. You can see that the Noon News, Jean-Pierre Pernaut, he'll have been hosting that for 30 years next Thursday, and we'll celebrate that, and he's still fit as a fiddle. On average, he's got 5.3 million viewers, a 2.7 million lead over France 2, and you can see the market share for the people over 4, and women under 50 in the 25-49 age group. So it's great with like all of our programs to be with such ratings. Anne-Claire Coudray at the weekend, a 2.9 million lead over the public broadcasting service. And you can see for the 8 o'clock news, the gap is maintained or even improved. That's what we're happy about. Still 5.9 million viewers for Gilles Boulot with an 800,000 800,000 viewer gap versus France 2. And for the advertising targets like the 25-49 group, we've improved our scores at 19.5. And even at the beginning of the year, we were above that. And for weekends, Anne-Claire Coudray maintained the lead, a 1 million viewer lead compared to our closest competitor. All that, of course, is good. It's even better if you can optimize content. How can we maintain the quality of our viewership and also the content excellence in our programs, but by optimizing our purchasing costs? In fact, our acquisition policy and its optimization was organized around two main avenues. First of all, optimizing our rights purchases with one obsession to lower acquisition costs, and in parallel, invent new formats for co-production or new funding modes and new formats, as I said. Regarding rights purchases, as you can see on the slide, we talked about that. We wanted to exit what existed, the output deals with big American studios, because quality in Hollywood has declined a lot given the smattering of production there. So we do some cherry picking now. We carefully select the programs we want and TV shows we want without having any obligation to purchase in blocks or off plan, as it were, as we used to do with TV shows when content was scarce. We only have one output deal now. All others were rescinded. We've also secured our main franchises, be it The Voice or Strictly Come Dancing. Everything was renegotiated and rather downwards, of course. We strengthened French drama, and we also expanded our rights, our acquisition rights, which reduced our acquisition needs. For Star Wars, we renegotiated, but with multi-broadcasting. We anticipated on the fact that over time we would secure the ability to replay a number of movies, which was not always the case in the past. Regarding co-production and new modes, we strengthened in-house production. Of course, it's very relevant when you buy such a diversified and strong company as Nguyen. We wanted to have a few synergies in place. We already have a 100% subsidiary called TF1 Production, but we wanted to leverage some of their know-how, especially the implementation of Nguyen and a daily soap opera called Demain nous appartient with them, and TF1 Production, which produced Ninja Warriors or Mon plus beau Noël, My Best Christmas, that was invented by TF1 teams that we fully own. Different partnerships too, with, of course, Netflix, as we mentioned with Marseille, but we also recently sold the rights to The Mantis, which was a great success with Carole Bouquet to Netflix. So novel partnerships, given the power of these platforms, and also international co-productions. We've seen the first results of Gone with NBC and RTL. The ratings were rather good, so we're quite happy. And also new genres, web TV series, the Lollywood Collective, which switched over to TFX. We're really shooting left, right, and center to address new content that works well, but also to optimize everything that we can do and also work with partners that bring complementarities. All that editorial and acquisition policy only makes sense if it's really orchestrated in terms of monetization and optimized monetization. Here, this is the approach of our advertising brokerage and our relationship with advertisers. I wanted to put the message across once again. TV as a medium is very powerful. It's still essential for advertisers. On the left-hand side, a recent survey by Ubiquiti, published about the UK, but that shows the effectiveness of advertising models, especially in the UK. That's a survey from November 2017. If you invest £1 for TV, that generates £4.2 over 3 years, and you can see the results for the various other media, print, display, radio, and so on. So over time, most studies show the firepower. A lot of people were drawn to digital, but it also looks like a black box, and advertisers tried to play it safe for their brands, so they tended to leave the online sphere. So gradually, there's a sort of pendulum swing back towards TV that started in the US and now back in Europe. Unilever threatened to pull out all of its online advertising when it has no guarantee of having better safety, with the lack of transparency and confidence on the part of consumers, also the fight against fake news and hate speech and sexist discourse. When there's this type of worries about this part of digital, that's a good thing for television. At the same time, there are some very dynamic sectors for advertising. I've shown the most interesting growth for 2017, as seen by our advertising brokerage sectors that are in T2, retail, automotive, tourism, that are sectors that carried on investing for us and on which we can rely. Of course, some are declining, like food or beverages or healthcare and beauty that were impacted by more headwinds. What does it look like for TF1? Well, last year there was a difficult year regarding advertising. This year there was an increase. You can see that it was characterized by, according to the different quarters, but there was an overall increase of 1.7% to reach 1.480 billion. That's due to the very good ratings on DTT and the monetization of these ratings, and also sponsorship deals. On a cumulative basis, what we know for sure in terms of net market share, for the first 9 months of 2017, we had a lead and an increase in market share of 0.8 points. And if you look at the results for the last quarter, now we only know the increase on the gross market share, and we can think that there will be a correlation, except there were huge discounts by our competitors, but the increase is about 0.7. So the lead that we had over the first 9 months should be partly maintained for the last quarter and the full year. The idea for us in the brokerage is to carry on developing the leadership and satisfying advertising clients, and also acquire new clients. For acquisition, we have four main avenues. First, increase the number of advertisers. We have all the main French advertisers. But at some point, you also need to approach smaller or mid-sized advertisers. So we gained over 100 advertisers in 2017, plus 12.7% compared to the previous year, from 900 to about 1,000 advertisers. Also, sponsorship operations, as you know, with legislation, we can now have sponsorship deals where you can mention products or taglines by advertisers, so that freed up some creative power. What we used to do in the past was a bit absurd, so we've come back to a more nominal situation. But there's some elasticity by advertisers, there's more demand. So we really, that really paid off for us, because our turnover for a sponsorship grew by 27% compared to last year, with some great operations, 360-degree operations for advertisers like the Super U supermarket chain. We also developed our box, as we call it. That's the interface that we can have in programs regarding the advertising brokerage. We have 94 digital assets that are connected to the box, working with us on a daily basis. With it, of course, we can monetize traditional inventories. And we have the best inventories on television, so we deal with very traditional programs so that we can have express purchases to make life easier on a daily basis for basic things or small campaigns. And we can also have yield management on value creation for the most precious screens or programs that will always be auctioned off. And then it is what happens in prime time at 8:35 or 8:50 p.m. This is what the advertising brokerage has a lot of know-how on, and that's what makes our power ratio so strong. And last development, conquest of new territories. We talked about our desire to go to Belgium. That's what we did. We now have a partner called Transfer. They sort of Belgify, so they show Belgian advertisers when you watch TF1 in Belgium. That's something we hadn't done in 30 years. Now we've now been able to do it. And the good news for the end of the year for sports teams, if advertisers are interested in sport, the Discovery Group entrusted us with advertising sales for Eurosport, and that started in early 2018. All that is, of course, about fundamental activities for the group, but as you know, one of our ambitions in the group is to diversify. And all that, of course, relies on other activities and businesses. A word about that. Activities that we call entertainment that are both diversified now, and over the year 2017 they were redeployed. We disrupted a number of models, especially in the world of music, where increasingly traditional music labels have difficult relations with some players and artists. So we did the marketing and promotion and coaching of an artist like Matt Pokora, who was very successful, over 500,000 records sold, a diamond record. We organized a tour. We published a live album. So now our music business is very successful. We bought a stake in the Play 2 music label. Maître Gims, a hip-hop star, will publish a new album with this label. That will be part of our group TF1 activities. For movies, we maximized synergies. Of course, we have production obligations in French cinema. The idea is in these co-productions to publish and co-produce with TF1 Studios. And so we were present on movies like Alibi.com. So that's TF1 production, but also TF1 Studio. So we distributed, and also Valerian, Redding, or Le Sens de la Fête. That were big successes for French movies in 2017. And of course, you'll be able to see them one day on TF1 screens. Last but not least, TF1 Games, which is still going its own way with a number of games, and also Escape Games, because we convinced the Paris Saint-Germain and the Paris Opera to organize escape games that will be a way to monetize their facilities in a fairly novel way. We also do production, more production now. As you know, we became involved in production in early 2016, of course, with the Nguyen Group. What I wanted to say in a word about Nguyen this morning is that their development was going along nicely. They developed their existing customer portfolio. The existing customers are those on the left-hand side, of course, the public broadcasting service with France 2 and France 3, Canal Plus with Versailles, Arte with some orders. The TF1 group was not traditionally a client, and of course they ordered programs like Demain nous appartient, and also a unit production called Un village à la diète, a village on a diet, putting everyone in a village on a diet and see what happens. That's quite interesting. M6 placed orders. Nguyen also signed deals with Netflix for a mini-series called Osmosis, and recently with Amazon Studios, a show called Germanized. The idea is to have a German factory, a German company being established in a French village with a lot of culture shock. The great success of Demain nous appartient, in a nutshell, that's really something that we wanted to happen with Fabrice Larue and the Nguyen team. It's fully industrial. We're in the city of Sète. If you've seen it, you can't escape it. There's some beauty shots of Sète. We produce 26 minutes, 5 days a week. That's a lot in terms of production. 350 technical staff, 3 film crews, writers, rooms, and so on. And the good news is that this soap that's very successful in France every night has just been sold to Italy. So for us, it's very important to start seeing such success happen.
Of course, I'd like to talk to you briefly about multimedia becoming ever more substantial. As I said when I arrived, I wanted us to step up digital transformation of the TF1 group. Now, clearly, we've been able to develop new content as well as inventory on our portal. My TF1 in 2017, 1.3 billion videos viewed. And even more importantly, henceforth, with less and less linear TV, we've got 18% additional catch-up viewers, such as we're watching Demain nous appartient, 18 million videos viewed every month. Bracelet Rouge, the figures that we just see here, 6.7 million in the first evening of Bracelet Rouge, over 700,000 replay viewers. So we're already talking about 13 to 14%. So I certainly know that we're talking about a different consumption pattern here. We've invented Téléfoot. That's the main soccer event for many years now, Téléfoot, viewed on TF1, Sunday mornings. And on the internet, we invented a daily, which is 6 million videos viewed monthly in a fully digital format. Furthermore, we wanted to support advertisers moving into new territories and approaching new targets. I know that you've monitored this if you track our share in the TF1 group. You saw our international partnership. Clearly, we intend to continue to be the French leader, and even more importantly, we have alliances with European partners. And here, we're talking about ProSieben, Mediaset 7, Mediaset Italy, and now Channel 4, also together with us. The idea here being, in the European Broadcaster Exchange, to have a pan-European ad agency in Europe versus the London agencies that have clients that very much want to invest in several different countries, so an alternative to Facebook and Google, which generally reap the lion's share of this. Studio 71 France also rolled out thanks to, it's a partnership, of course, with ProSieben. The idea here has been to bring in new talent, YouTube and the internet specifically. And then a last portion of stepping up digital transformation, innovation, digital technology and data. And we're talking about both advertising, my TF1 I talked about, One Data, 350 campaigns via the DMP, Digital Data Management Platform. Interesting thing, the cost per 1,000 data is above 15% versus conventional. So there's a correlation. You can sell to an advertiser a specific target knowing their data, and that's got value. And then more recently, with our incubator, we brought in Media Lab TF1 Station F so that we can be better in contact, for ear to the ground, to know exactly what's going on in the area in French new tech. So those are my points regarding group activities from a commercial point of view, but our group also has ambitions for people who want to play an important role in society, considering our importance in French society. Briefly, we'll talk about this, and it's very important to several of you. We know that several investors pay a great deal of attention to corporate social responsibility and a company's social image and what it's doing. Now, we've brought together under a single brand all the various actions that TF1 Group has been involved in under CSR. This is called TF1 Initiatives. You, on the right-hand side of the slide here, you have the logo. The idea is to pull together all of our various actions here. It's what we've done conventionally already, donations to partner associations, about 39 million euros worth of what we're calling solidarity here. These are donations, paying game winnings or giving free of charge commercial space and so forth. We've also renewed our diversity label last December with the government. This has to do with preventing discrimination, equal opportunity, equal treatment, promoting diversity within our group and on our channels, since we are a showcase. We celebrated the 10th anniversary of TF1 Foundation. TF1 Foundation, this is the idea of promoting equal opportunity and diversity within the group. For 10 years now, over 120 young people were brought into various departments of the group, generally from suburbs, lower income suburbs, and so forth. And we're very proud of this achievement. We've broadened our scope, bringing in other actions, Sports in the City, Journal Fraternity, and then another Respect Zone, which has to do with respect in cyberspace. And lastly, we want to communicate with and engage employees. The idea being that if everyone at TF1 that wants to work in this area can do so. We invite them to do so. We want to also continue good performance in non-financial rankings. We've seen further confirmation of our standing according to the various indexes you see at the bottom of the screen here. It's very important to us. We place great store in this. That's the last review of our strategy, initial review of strategy that we rolled out successfully. Now I'd like to hand over to Philippe, who will walk us through the 2017 financial statements. Thank you, Gilles. Good morning, everyone. I would like to talk to you about the TF1 Group's consolidated financial statements for fiscal 2017. First of all, consolidated revenue, 2,124, up 3%, up 62 million euros. Broadcasting is up 2.6%, 1,713 million. The growth is as follows. Very good advertising revenue for the five free-to-air channels, as you can see, 1,480 million. Gilles already explained this. A drop in revenues in TF1, very much offset by a great performance by DTT channels in terms of revenue, up by 25 million euros. Regarding other revenues, other platforms and related activities, 170 million euros, up 11%. This is a reflection of great performance of interactive business, digital business, and pay TV themes, which are doing very well, as Gilles has said. Now on to studios and entertainment, 411 million euros, up 18.5 million euros, which is a 4.7% increase. Now, a technical point here to really fully explain this figure. Sales of co-production shares by Newen to their clients, broadcasters, and editors, those sales of co-production are no longer booked under revenue, but rather booked under other income. So the figure of 411 million isn't including sales of co-production shares. You know, if you use equivalent counting methods, like for like, restated, this would be 27 million euros. I'll have an opportunity to explain that to you in greater detail in a moment. Therefore, this growth of 4.7% should include an additional 27 million euros that I'll explain to you further later. To talk to you now about broadcasting. Organic growth in broadcasting is 2.6%, 43.7 million euros. This is only organic growth. A portion of revenues, 25 million euros we just mentioned, is advertising. And then other broadcasting revenue, 18.5 million. To talk about studios and entertainment now, growth here, to some degree, is through external growth, through acquisitions. It's approximately 62% of this growth through acquisitions. 17 million euros is organic growth. Regarding organic growth, this is mainly good performance of Newen, plus the startup, around 10 million euros worth, startup of La Scène Musicale, which is business we didn't have last year. Regarding acquisitions, the 28 million euros, this is mainly integration of Tuvalu, which is a Newen subsidiary in the Netherlands, plus Play 2. They're making up around 6 to 7 million euros, which Gilles talked about previously. Now let's talk about the cost of programming, down 22.7 million compared to last year. This drop in cost of programming, three main reasons for this. Of course, absence of sporting events after taking into account replacement, that's 37 million euros. In addition to this, there's an increase in cost of programs due to integration for a full year of LCI. You know, LCI went free to air last year on April 5th, 2016. So last year, cost of programming, we only had 9 months worth of LCI, whereas this year we've got 12 full months, which is an impact on the order of 9 million euros in terms of cost of programs. We reinvested 4 million euros in all of our free-to-air channels, which is the reason for the figure of 22.7 million and the drop taking into account the lack of sporting events. And if you look more specifically by type of programming, you can observe a drop in long features, 169 as opposed to 174. We reduced the number of broadcast movies during the year, just under 20 during the day this year, whereas there have been over 40 the previous year. News slightly up, 1.8 million. This time we're including LCI for the full year, as I just mentioned. So like for like, news is down. And that's moving toward cost of reducing cost of news and also synergy between TF1 and LCI. Now, sports programs up 10 million euros, a reflection mainly of costs of the Handball World Cup, Gilles alluded to. That's the main reason. We don't consider handball to be a major event. Apologize to say that, but compared to rugby and soccer. Nonetheless, in terms of costs, it is a plus in terms of having to pay sports rights. Drama increased by 13 million, 325 million euros. This is firstly due to, as you said, broadcast starting in July of Demain nous appartient, and also a little bit more French drama. We broadcast 88 French dramas this year in primetime versus 79 last year. Those are the points regarding cost of programs. Now to move on to the income statement, I won't repeat consolidated revenue or cost of programs, which have already gone through. If you look at other costs, expenses, provisions, and amortizations, 926 million, up 29 million euros. Other charges, depreciation, amortization, and provision, three components contained here mainly. First of all, a scope effect, 43 million euros worth. This is the Tuvalu integration to Play 2, plus various other acquisitions we did. So 43 million euro scope effect on expenses, offset by recurring savings of 27 million euros. This is our recover program. I'll come back to explain that more later. And then a difference compared to last year, which is due to the profit sharing, and you'll see this in the appendices to the financials, including, of course, the fact that we've got better earnings and therefore there's an increase in the portion of profit sharing. All in all, net profit, 183 million, 8.7% operating margin. Now, under other expenses and income, this is only amortization of audiovisual rights of Newen reevaluated as last year. This will be the case next year as well, 3-year period. We've, on this particular line item, there's an amortization of the revaluation of audiovisual rights at Newen. All in all, operating profit, 162 million euros, up 116 million euros. Other items, I don't have to make any points on these. Taxes up, tax increase due to our increased profits, but also due to the impact booked on under this line of the dividends tax offset by an increase in the tax base for the full year, non-recurring. A share of profits of associate affiliates, 14.2 million euros. This is mainly the divestment of the AB Group, deconsolidation of AB Group. All in all, net profit, 136.4 million euros. Now to talk to you about the Recover Plan, the 27% recurring savings. There are three main elements here. First of all, two main recurring savings thanks to our transformation program. This means mainly increased productivity, addressing staff costs. We've got our initial returns this year and on these investments thanks to transformations in the past year. Next, to purchasing optimization. This yields 6 million euros. This is due to the renegotiating of some of our overheads and structure costs with our suppliers and a drop in number of suppliers for Group TF1. Digitalization, 9 million euros. This means savings, technical costs of broadcasting and optimization of IT projects and other technical projects. All in all, 27 million euros savings, which is in line with the guidance we gave on this point. To move on to the balance sheet, total balance sheet, 3.390 billion. I don't have to make many comments here, just to talk about non-current assets. Here you can see the impact of entry and exit of our equity stakes, exit of AB Group, entry of De 71, and as well as acquisitions during the year. Under current assets, 2.329 billion, up 207 million euros. This is an improved cash on hand. Here you can see net cash goes from 186 to 256 million, up 70 million euros. Furthermore, this is a reflection of the increase in our receivables and liabilities. You have the liabilities, current liabilities, up 91.8 million euros, mainly due to things to be issued. Now, that was the balance sheet. To talk to you about changes in net cash position, to go into a little bit further detail, we've got our operating cash flow up. It's 372 million euros. Better performance and our results this year. Also, this is an increase due to the mirror effect you've now got in terms of net OPEX. It's the development of production, increased production. So operating cash flow has an impact on operational investments, which are down slightly, 188.8 million capital expenditure versus 205 million last year. Now, taxes paid 21.2 million. This is the amount of advanced taxes we paid last year. We'd paid an interim payment, which is a little bit higher than we should have paid, so we received some tax refunds, which brings us back to tax out payments that are similar to what we had in 2015, 25 million euros in 2015 was taxes paid out. This is approximately the same level of amount of taxes paid out in a usual year. Working capital requirements for operations, 82 million euros, a slight deterioration in operating WCR due to a cyclical effect you're all familiar with, which occurs every 4 years, i.e., lacking sporting events beneficial in terms of income statement, but a little bit less positive on WCR because we pay advances on sporting rights, particularly the World Cup. So we have cash out in advance for the rights for the World Cup, and not only on that item. So sporting rights have an impact on WCR. Then you've got an impact, good sign here, an increase in receivables. This is due to the fact that our revenues are up in the last 2-3 months of the year. So there's an increase in the receivables. Not many other things we need to talk about, acquisitions and disposals. It was just disposal of the AB Group and acquisitions that we did during the year, Studios 71, among others, and then a few other acquisitions as well. Dividend, this is what we paid to shareholders last April. All in all, 256.7 million euros net cash position end of the period. Lastly, to talk to you about return to shareholders, the board of directors at TF1 will propose to the AGM in April to pay a dividend of 0.35 euro per share, which is an increase compared to the ordinary dividend last year at 0.28, up about 25%, which is 54% of our net profit attributable to the group in 2017. There you have it. Thank you. I'd like to give the floor to Gilles now. Third part of the presentation, as I said in the introduction, challenges for 2018 as we see them. We're convinced that we will continue winning the content war through content which is both powerful, exclusive, which gets people really interested in dreaming and brings the French together, and also our ability to actually orchestrate all of this through multi-channel strategy. And very adroit programming. So before talking about enacting the strategy, since we're talking about a TV group, we thought it would make sense for us to show you some pictures. That might be a good thing to do. So great film.
Est-ce que vous êtes prêts?
Est-ce que vous avez une petite idée de ce qui va vous arriver?
Non, ça pourrait être marrant, ça, tiens.
Oh, j'adorerais.
C'est hyper dangereux dans le labyrinthe.
Tu as grandi auprès d'un prédateur.
Tu désennuies? Tu sais, ça peut aider d'avoir un clic dans la famille.
Sors-nous de là et vite, accrochez-vous.
Vous êtes enseignant en criminologie.
Ça va?
Ça va bien, merci.
C'est la pire nuit de toute ma vie.
Il est à 80 millions de kilomètres de chez lui. Il se sent totalement seul, il pense qu'on l'a abandonné.
Y'a quelqu'un? On peut en descendre, s'il vous plaît?
Sam, tu comptes donner cours à des ados de 14 ans en petite culotte?
C'est pour stimuler leur pulsion littéraire.
Surprise!
Pour la centième de VTEP, on va les rendre cinglés.
Tant qu'on est en vie, l'histoire n'est jamais finie. Et notre histoire à nous ne fait que commencer. Non.
Je sens qu'on va être heureux ici.
Yes!
Qu'est-ce qui va se passer maintenant?
Je te ramène chez toi.
Et l'année ne fait que commencer sur TF1.
So, there, when you try and fit it on a slide, that's what it looks like. It's a bit less attractive, so carry on renewing French drama and US TV shows. What's that mean? As you know, on the French drama that I was talking about earlier with the 42 best ratings, 32 of which for TF1 in 2017, the idea is to carry on with success. We're going upmarket with writing and talent. There are more and more cinema actors crossing over to TV. You had Carole Bouquet in 2017, who was in The Mantis. Actors, but also better writing, societal issues that really the nation cares about. And drama team at TF1 are really the best to handle these topics so successfully. We're thinking about the Red Band Society, Bracelet Rouge. There will be a great TV show called Insoupçonnable, based on The Fall and shot in Lyon. Also on TF1, Les Guépards on TF1 series and film. Ready to be surprised by these great successes. We'll also focus on our TV shows that we had a few problems with. We're happy with Gone, but we've secured The Good Doctor, that was one of the flagship TV shows by Sony and ABC in the US, as well as SWAT by CBS. We'll have one great TV show, the adaptation of Joël Dicker's book, The Truth About the Harry Quimbert Case. Jean-Jacques Annaud will direct a TV show for the very first time. We'll also firmly establish and renew unscripted formats, the strongest formats that are on TF1 with the Voiced, Koh-Lanta, Strictly Come Dancing and Ninja Warrior. You'll have the 2018 edition of the Enfoiré concert, Miss France, which is constantly being renewed, and ramping up the Energy Music Awards, and also innovate in unscripted format, something like Running Wild on TFX or L'Aventure Robinson with Maître Gims and Kenji Girac on a desert island with, of course, Denis Brognard. That ought to be something quite powerful on our screens soon. Also firmly established our Access Primetime offer. That's what we started in 2017 with Demain nous appartient, the soap opera, Quotidien with Yann Barthès, Villa des Coeurs Brisés on TFX, and new formats like this one that TF1 production invented les as de la déco, decoration stars, on TF1 this year. And also the best ratings to be expected for 2018 will be related to a global event that will be the World Cup in Moscow. And we couldn't help but show you some footage. Full setup starting on the 14th of June, but starting even before that, up till the 15th of July for the final, with pre-game magazines, Téléfoot every day, the 28 best matches, including all those for the French team, as you could see on the slide, matches at 8 p.m. That will be an impact on our news program. We're working on it with Thierry Thuillier, the news team, and also the sports people. Will be broadcasting in 4K in the agreements that we have with Altice SFR and Bouygues Telecom that will be part of the TF1 premium offering. And also we'll be marketing events screens that started with a very good market reception base according to the advertising brokerage, so we're quite happy. And also LCI will follow. LCI will have a very strong competitive edge versus its other competitors like CNews or BFM TV, because we'll have the rights over the footage. So we'll, LCI will be able to talk about the World Cup and also the fact that they'll have this competitive edge. We'll also have a complementary offering that we're thinking about for TMC and TFX, as well as a digital offering that will be powerful with live match broadcasts, switching during the halftime, strong presence on social media, especially the daily Téléfoot. We'll be working with Studio 71 for a specific setup on YouTube, as well as brand new offers so that you can watch games in VR, something that we had already started with the Euro 2016. Regarding content, there's also news. News is being revamped in the TF1 group based on three pillars under the leadership now of Thierry Thuillier. Regarding organization, we've just announced stronger synergies between the TF1 and LCI teams. We started with the political newsroom, but that's the beginning of the convergence between the teams and better organization in-house, so for us it's really important. Regarding editorial, we're currently working on that, working on monetizing our screens for that part of the day. What we call the crossroads period, the half hour after the 8 o'clock news coming back to prime time at 9 p.m., 5 minutes past nine. So we'll have a bit less fragmentation in programming, slightly longer formats, with a stronger focus on the news. We have this strong newsroom, so we want to have more news at this time of the day. So we'll have the 8 p.m. mag that will be a sort of pull-out section to the 8 p.m. news, probably more powerful for the 25-49 age group, because this is the target that we're now mostly interested in, as seen from our advertising brokerage, and maybe some programs that will be a better, more structured, a bit more visible for viewers, and with also a big weather slot that that people can be passionate about sometimes in the year. And also common production broadcasting tools. This is something that a lot of journalists and editors had been looking forward to. So we'll have a joint studio by LCI and TF1 that will make things easier. And in September, You'll also have a new setting, a new studio, as I said, that will make it easier in terms of mobility. Things will be a bit more dynamic, more dialogue, more innovation with augmented and virtual reality. But of course, the challenge for 2018 is to carry on with the work that we initiated about monetization, especially in terms of content distribution. As you know, we opened new avenues when we wanted to shift the lines when it came to renewing our commercial deals that were 10 years old. Of course, at first, there was the fact that no one wanted to hear about it. Why should we do that in France? Well, we know that if you've been keeping track of the industry, the telco and the media industry, everyone knew that in a lot of European countries and in the US, there were mechanisms in place so that you could remunerate channels for the content that they provide as soon as the content is no longer free to air on DTT, but marketed by telco operators and distributors. So with Régis Ravanas and the distribution people, we started launching these deals that were not necessarily easy to strike. That culminated in the first deal in November 2017 with SFR Altice Group. That was followed in early January by a deal with Bouygues. At the same time, M6, our competitor, signed deals with these operators, as well as with Orange, I think, and Canal Plus, and now we're in talks. It's a bit tense at present with Orange, but we're still talking, so we're looking forward to a positive outcome, as well as with Free and Canal Plus Group. It's very important for TF1's future model, because viewing TV on the internet is rising, as I said in my introduction. And since we have this content, this valuable content, Philippe reminded us really of their value in our P&L. And so it needs to be now also valued in the new world of today. Maybe a word about regulatory challenges, because our country has that specificity that we always have to talk about the regulatory side of things. The outlook, as you know, the main milestones, July 2017, we renewed the TF1 convention with some more flexibility. In October, there was the start of a public consultation on simplifying the rules on TV advertising. This consultation is still being analyzed as we speak. And also, the authorities announced a big new audiovisual law to come in 2018, especially about public broadcasting. What's at stake for TF1 is the media chronology, or rather, when we're talking about that, is the cinema timeline. So if there are changes, we wish for the main equilibrium place to be maintained, i.e. in the funding of the cinema industry, with requirements in terms of funding for groups like ours, Canal Plus or M6. If there were to be more flexibility in the future, just purely in the name of modernity. So we should protect content creation in France, as well as the movie industry that we're a part of. We remind you that we do not make money on cinema. It's just a programming investment. And so if there were to be changes in some of these broadcasting windows, of course, we'd like to have our involvement taken into account, because that's a financial impact. The liberalization of advertising eligible sectors for TV. We finance movies, but you cannot advertise movies on our channels. It's totally absurd to have that type of thing. Whereas, of course, now anything goes on the internet. You may wonder whether as actors financing movies, it wouldn't make sense for us to advertise our movies on our screens when movies are released. And here you can really have a fine-grained modulation of that that could be very progressive, taking into account the specificities of French cinema. Ditto for retail. Mass retail cannot advertise about promotions. Here, of course, everything is being done on the web or in other media, so legitimately we could have a role to play to advertise national promotions, and that wouldn't necessarily harm more local or regional players. We've made such proposals to the authorities to say that in the world of today, everything should not be reserved to the internet, but we could also help our advertising brokerages. They could make proposals to advertisers who would need those. And of course, there will be a reform of the public broadcasting sector. There will need to be vigilance about what changes could happen, and also the ratio between dependent and independent drama financing. You know that there are limitations on how much of a stake you can have in independent producers. We've reached the limits now. Once we've acquired a studio like Newen, now we can hardly grow anymore in this universe. We need to buy international companies, as we said with Newen. It's not a problem in and of itself, but it's a shame that French players have to sell themselves to foreign players, because anyway, groups like TF1 can no longer make any smart moves on that market. That's what I wanted to remind you of about 2018, the main challenges in the more macro view. And what will be very exciting in 2018 is the announcement we made to the market at the end of 2017. Our digital acceleration with the acquisition of a majority stake in the Axel Springer Group. We bought their majority stake in Au Féminin. Of course, I can't tell you everything about what we think about this acquisition, because it's not yet finalized. It's still being reviewed by the competition authority. This morning, what we simply wanted to share with you is why it makes sense and why we thought that there would be strong complementarity with this acquisition of Au Féminin Group. If you don't know it, Au Féminin is first and foremost a very highly visible brand portfolio on verticals that are more geared towards women, fashion and beauty. That could be cooking, but that's broader, parenting, health, and lifestyle. First, starting in Europe, but also in the US, with also one specificity in Japan. We're talking about very powerful brands, Au Féminin, Au Féminin Club, Marmiton, which is the number one cooking website and recipes site in France, Netmums in the UK, OnMeda, which is a healthcare website which started in Germany, but which is now in France too, as well as elsewhere in Europe. And in lifestyle, during their growth, they acquired My Little Paris, which is a very trendy website, mostly targeting women. They have a small website for men called Merci Alfred. And My Little Paris is characteristic in that there's a strong web community with about 4 million women receiving the newsletter on the web. But they also market boxes, monthly boxes, surprise boxes based on subscriptions. You don't know what you'll receive in the box, but the community likes it for a price between 18 and 20 euros. But they perceive that it's worth about 40 to 50 euros. It's something that was developed by My Little Paris. So you've got My Little Box, Gambit Box, with two pairs of tights a month. Great was developed by Au Féminin. Smaller products, various spices that you receive every month, or vitamins too. Beautiful box was developed by Au Féminin, and in Japan, My Little Box is there, and there are about 40,000 Japanese women who receive My Little Box every month, a little souvenir from Paris. So the profile revenues in 2017, they were just published because the company is listed, 113 million euros. regarding EBITDA, these are the 2016 figures. They haven't published their P&L yet. 24.7 million euros in margin, profit margin, 23%, and EBIT for 2016 was 17.8 million euros, over 129 million users in the world, 20 of whom in France, over 7 million followers on social media. The Marmiton application is a real phenomenon. It was downloaded over 17 million times with mobile use. As I said, 4 million subscribers to My Little Paris newsletter and 460 staff for the whole group. What specific what really sold us is that it's a web model, but we are also interested in these typical audiences. First, the reach is very strong because we're talking about powerful advertising on display and everything that all the impacts that it can have on programs. They also developed header bidding in the US. We can talk about that. That sort of micro auction that happens on spaces pre-sold to advertisers that will gradually reduce replace display on a market that's more advanced than in Europe. So we hope that we can import that into Europe. They've started doing that, but also very engaged communities in terms of brand content, brand publishing, influence. A lot of influencers are on social media talking about that, a lot of events. They created Mona in Paris. That was a small house where women could meet coaches, entrepreneurs, and typically orchestrated by My Little Paris. It's quite exceptional. And if you go beyond engagement, there's also conversion with purchases with what they call social e-commerce, i.e. those boxes I was talking about. An advertising model which is both B2B, but also targeting platforms. And with our advertisers, that could be a new way to talk to advertisers on behalf of advertisers, those communities that we do not reach with our traditional TF1 brokerage, and also a transactional model that seems very interesting. Let's take the example of Marmiton. It's a very powerful brand because it has 25 million unique visitors on the site, 13.3 million unique users, but also mobile applications with 5.7 million push subscribers. Events created by Marmiton, 2.4 million fans on Facebook, a YouTube channel, a magazine, which is published monthly, and also a newsletter. That's the reverse of the traditional model because the web really is turned into a physical magazine. We think that this merger will create value. Of course, Ofemina on the left-hand side will provide all of its e-commerce know-how with growth potential that we think will be very strong. Complementary business to what we have, an entrepreneurial culture, although we consider ourselves very agile at TF1, a growth driver, and also the digital native's legitimacy, something that TF1 cannot really boast. What TF1 can provide is probably content production, a number of influencers and web talents may want at some point to move towards cinema or digital with Nuon. There will be bridges also with Studio 71. They can accelerate their growth. We can help them internationally, and we can also optimize the way they work. That's what we wanted to share with you, a global reach, but with a unique offering, a one-of-a-kind offering between a media group and also a web group. We are coming closer to a conclusion, a word about the outlook and the guidance that we wanted to share with you regarding the way you should look at TF1 in 2018 and in the next few years. What we wanted to remind you of is that in 2018, we are expecting a current operating margin group growth, excluding major sporting events. So that's up to the end of, carrying on with the 2017 performance. For 2018-2020, all efforts that were made to have powerful and unique content, but also optimizing everything that I shared with you this morning, well, the average annual cost of programming over the 3 years will be reduced to 960 million euros for the 5 free-to-air channels. And in 2019, we'll have a TF1 group with more diversified revenues, less dependent on the traditional advertising brokerage, because we can imagine that over a third of consolidated revenues will be coming from activities other than advertising on the 5 free-to-air channels, so the start of a strong diversification. And, of course, we maintained our target of double-digit current operating margin in 2019. This concludes our presentation. On the 12th of June, we'll organize our Investors' Day. We'll have a lot to share with you, and we will share with you more details about the Au Féminin Group. Thank you, and now we'll have a Q&A with Philippe. If you want to introduce yourselves before, if you would please introduce yourself before you ask a question.
Could you tell us your view regarding TV advertising the first few months of this year? Second question, your contract with telco operators, could you give us more financial details? I suspect those contracts are high-margin contracts. Third point has to do with the reform in public audio broadcasting. I'd like to know what's the most likely that'll be changed, and what would you rather see change in this area? Thank you. On your first question, advertising, you know, January and February aren't representative. They're low advertising months, so we can't consider what we see in Jan-Feb as a reflection of the full year. First point. Second point, in January, February, I'd say there are no positives or negatives to be seen. It looks stable. We have low visibility for March so far. So no change in visibility either in the first 2 months. But let me repeat, the first 2 months of the year aren't highly significant due to the way the advertising market operates in France, as you know. Now, your second question on contracts, you can well imagine that we're not going to give you the content of those here. One thing I'd like to slightly correct this morning. Some people claim there were some exorbitant amounts requested. We've discussed this with various people. Several people have looked at our general terms for sale, so the gross rates that we asked for, and said that if they got everything they asked for, it would mean 100 million euros. And you know this full well, full by heart, and advertising is between a gross rate and a negotiated rate is the negotiation part. So if you start from a maximum of 100 million euros, the idea is you'll end up at several dozens of millions of euros. Realize that. The question is to how many dozens of millions? Well, you'll have to see in upcoming years. All I can say is that we are really putting together a value, which is the value I've outlined for you, pertaining to exceptional content, which is attracting the French, appealing to the French, and to some degree this represents what the French are paying every day when they pay 40 euros per month for a set-top box. So several cents per month that we're asking of the telco companies, it makes perfect sense. It's not really all that much. So we feel it is certainly not exorbitant. Regarding public broadcasting reforms, we're not going to voice our wish list for you. We don't have a wish list. Mainly, we're going to keep our ear to the ground and see what's afoot. And, of course, we'll keep a careful watch on anything that might have to do with advertising. Because, of course, there's always a question as to the business model for public broadcasting. As I said earlier, I think it's important for France and for French content creation to have strong public broadcasting. So we don't want a weakened public broadcasting that would really be having a hard time of it. That's certainly not the idea. I think we have to find the right sources of funding. And, of course, the fact that There's still some tension in the advertising market. Isn't a good thing. We'd rather have a positive model of public broadcasting that would be funded through tax royalties. We could imagine taxes on some players that don't pay taxes today that would then have to make their contribution. I'm thinking of some digital platforms that currently aren't taxed, as you know, or very little taxed in Europe. So those are the various points for discussion, and of course, we're certainly happy to discuss these points with the state, receptive to discussions, but of course, we can't tell them we want this and we want that. Next question, please. Yes, I'm from Natixis. Two questions. Firstly, on programming costs and change in guidance. What's the change here? Why are you more confident regarding the next 3 years? Is there a type of program, I don't know, better circulation? Talk about the new guidance here in terms of schedule. Another question, a brief update on initial feedback you have from Belgium. And then a third question, actually three, sponsorships. You gave us growth figures for 2017. Do you think there's extra potential for growth in 2018? Will it be similar orders of magnitude in 2018? Thank you. Schedules, programming, cost of programming guidance. I think we got a good explanation of this earlier already by Gilles. We're confident in programming costs because we've got equivalent audience targets, and we've started the work on this actually in 2017, i.e. optimized rights circulation by changing our purchasing strategy, which was explained several times already. Our rights purchasing strategy was changed, particularly vis-a-vis U.S. studios, stopping output deals that Gilles alluded to, which there, over time will have an impact. As you know, output deals are purchasing strategies for a medium term, so there's not an immediate impact on programming costs, their remaining rights and optimization of rights and so forth. This starts having an impact and will continue over the next 3 years, and it should have a positive effect on our programming costs. These aren't divestments. They're optimizations. Probably also, as you said, they'll probably also, regarding news, as you said, there'll be some additional synergy to be achieved in LCI and TF1. This should also have an impact on news programming costs, some additional savings above and beyond those already achieved in 2017. I'd like to add a point. Philippe says you're not interested in this, but I'd like to say it nonetheless. If you look, and Xavier Gondon's in the room as well, who's in charge of programming. If you look at the efforts we've made in terms of acquisitions, I said this earlier, we have a policy of questioning, renegotiating our purchasing, tough negotiations. People say our competitors are tough when they do acquisitions, so we've become ever more tough ourselves, and we've questioned several of the acquisition prices. We're talking about series or movies or full entertainment. Listen to the people in Paris. We've had various talks. They'll tell you about these tough talks with several of our longstanding partners. So yes, it's what Philippe has said. This is definitely impacting. You'll see this in our P&L and our programming costs and our scheduling. Now we can say that some of the programs are getting older, long in the tooth, and you know that considering the numbers of series produced every year, basic trend is speeded obsolescence of programs. So managing schedules, we have to rotate programs quickly. We can't keep them in inventory for a long time. Look at the figure, amount of our inventory. You see it's going down. So we're talking about both appropriate management for the income statement and also for purposes of our balance sheet. I think it's very important to do this. Apparently not that interested in this, I'm told. But in my view, as guarantor of the good financial health of this company, it's our duty to reduce the overall inventory. I know you're all very interested in that also. It's actually true. So first, information from Belgium. Régis, did you want to come in on that? And also about sponsorship. Good afternoon, everybody. Things are going well in Belgium. We're pleased with our Fox subsidiary partnership with Transfer is ramping up over time. As you can imagine, we weren't necessarily welcome in that territory initially. Our competitors have made arrangements to try to lock in the market for a few months, at any rate for 1 year. So yes, it's ramping up gradually, but of course for us this is very beneficial, fairly low cost revenues, so this can help us improve things that can have real contribution to profits in a significant way. On sponsorship, would you come in briefly on the outlook for sponsorship in 2018? Momentum's still very good. We saw growth about 27%. Market was standing more at 20% growth. We had 27% growth. This is thanks to momentum with our advertising brokerage and also the firepower of our brand. For, of course, we're talking also about the transformation, the arrival of new regulations. Henceforth, sponsorship billboards are basically as advertising as commercials. Previously, you couldn't say much on the billboards. So now the good momentum continues. You've got an extraordinary event, the World Cup. We sold more than we could have originally. We had to add an additional sponsorship slot. There'll be 5 partners for the event. Previously, we were to only have 4. So not only is it the World Cup, but also you've still got the overall momentum, the effective momentum, getting a full understanding of the market, getting accustomed to the new regulations, understanding this year better than last, that this is a real opportunity. So we'll see growth in sponsorship this year as well. Thank you. Question toward the middle of the room. Okay, Kepler Schreiber, a couple of brief questions. First one, to come back to Belgium, Philippe, could you tell us about the euro contribution, the additional millions for ad growth from Belgium in Q4? That was question one. Question two, margins, guidance. You talk about percentage of margin growth in 2018, excluding major sporting events. Is this like-for-like scope, or is there 6 months worth of Au Féminin contained in that? That was the second question. Question three, it's a more general one. Advertising market share versus M6. For several quarters, M6 has outperformed, had greater growth in advertising. Market shares in 2017 might justify M6's outperformance. Do you see any turnaround in the trend at the end of the year, though, that might make for a better balance? I think M6 had a real volume effect in 17. Maybe they're reaching regulatory constraints. Could you say, do you think there might be a change in this area in 2018? On your first question, Belgium, 2017, financial impact was fairly low. We just started a gradual entry. So 2 to 3 million euros impact on revenues. And as Régis said, a ramp-up will be gradual in 2018 and 2019. I hope we've got the right figures in mind. TV advertising in Belgium, 200 million euros is the market. Our daily is 10 to 15% of our target viewership. So the highest will be 15 million for us. So we've got to be very cautious. We're not going to boost group earnings with that. We're not talking about tens of millions of euros. It'll be gradual. Regarding expected 2018 margin, growth in expected margin, excluding major sporting events, it's at a like-for-like scope. This might be boosted by contribution from Au Féminin, which will be consolidated at least for a six-month period, depending on the timeline from the antitrust authorities. We'll see. But it'll be approximately 6 months' worth. Advertising trends, Régis will correct if I'm mistaken, but what we see in these first weeks of 2018 is basically what you're saying, i.e. M6 Group was opening up a lot of inventory in 2017, starting in April, and it is true. This was quite problematic end of 2017, because necessarily when a competitor is opening up lots more inventory than ever before, well, by definition, are they adhering to prices or not? We've got a couple of answers to that one, but I'll let you wonder about that. As to the overall marketplace, this is important to us. We're still seeing the phenomenon potentially in the first quarter of 2018. Though we're seeing today an impact regarding ratings, the advertisers. I mean, if you keep track of this, you know, there's always a slight difference. So you reach particular ratings, and then there's a little bit of a lag, and the advertisers take an impact of that during the negotiations with the advertising brokerage. They factor in ratings with a slight lag. Would you like to add something? Let me tell you that market share, we don't see net market shares for the beginning of the year. They're only disclosed subsequently. But in terms of gross market shares, in the last month and a half, it's Group TF1 that's doing well in terms of taking new market share. The biggest take of market share vis-a-vis competitors. Group M6 is in a tougher situation due to their ratings. But we don't yet have a full year. Next question.
Thank you. Good morning. Bruno Aron, Odo. I have a question about the monetization of replay screens. You were giving the example of Demain nous appartient earlier, which had 5.7 million viewers, 700,000 of whom? And that's an extra 700,000. Says Mr. Pellisson. So people watching in replay, do they contribute more than those who watch linearly, or a bit less, much less? Could you give us some color on that, keeping in mind that, well, replay is going to grow in the viewing mix? The answer. Well, yes, it contributes less because, by definition, a screen on MyTF1 is not sold as a live screen. So we're talking about web rates rather than TV rates. However, for us, what we're seeing is that there's relevance in maintaining very high ratings for linear TV because that's what we market best. And then it's a mix that's being built as we go along. We're learning to live with this part, 10, 15, 20%. Well, it's not growing exponentially. We're rather seeing a stabilization in replay for the big programs. For 2 years now, we've been hovering between 10 and 20%. That's what we've been seeing based on the programs. Good afternoon, Jean-Baptiste Sergent, MainFirst. Two questions. The first one about the Q4 margin, which is declining in spite of advertising growth. So it's declining not only for studios, but also for the broadcasting part. As I said, advertising was up and programming costs were stable. So what happened? And then regarding Orange, it seems that Orange decided to cancel campaigns on TF1. Could that make you review your position in the negotiation? And what's the overall amount per year for TF1, what Orange spends in a year? Well, two things roughly regarding Q4 operating income. It was impacted compared to last year by two things. The first one I already disclosed. You'll find that in the appendices. The amount of profit sharing because of the improved income. In profit sharing was a legal matter that was automatic. Or also for the other part of profit sharing, it was an agreement that we have with our staff. So that was booked under Q4. The other impact is simply related to the fact that when you looked at unused provisions. You'll see that in the appendices. You'll see that this year we had unused provisions that were lower, and so no counterparts compared to last year. Last year we paid for a number of disputes and we reversed some provisions, so there's a gap of a few million, but that had an impact on operating income because of unused provisions. Third comment regarding operating income, EBIT in studio and entertainment was stable over the year, but there were events that were taken into account that you can see in detail in the accounts. That's explained by purely structural reasons. The first thing is that we booked a provision relative to the restructuring of TV shopping. We announced the closure of some shops. That was a one-off that we booked this year, so there was a provision included in EBIT on studios and entertainment relative to, first of all, the closure of teleport shopping shops. The second impact you can't see directly in the accounts and the EBIT. For Tuvalu, we had to book a depreciation of revalued AV rights, as we did for Nguyen, but within the scope of Tuvalu, because we acquired Tuvalu. And the acquisition of Tuvalu had an impact that, well, it's an accounting handling of the amortization, the depreciation of revalued assets of Tuvalu. It's a few million euros. It's not cash. It's one-off. It's temporary. For this year, it will be much lower in the next few years, but that had an impact on EBIT that you had to correct for, and it was a one-shot. Next issue has to do with CapEx in some activities, especially music that we did this year. That should become profitable next year. Two things. La Scène Musicale is opening. This auditorium is performing better than we thought, but it already broke even in the first year, but it's not contributing to income. So the 12 million in revenues that I talked about for La Scène Musicale does not have any impact on EBIT for this year. Then Play 2 was an investment this year, and as we said in the press release, these activities will probably generate better profitability next year. And then, just for comparison's sake, that's something, a business specificity that you're very familiar with, Jean-Baptiste. Cinema, some vintages are better than others, also in movies. And so we had a long trail of Qu'est-ce qu'on a fait au bon Dieu? We had a very good year, for quite decent for TF1 Studios. They broke even, but their earnings were not as high than as in the previous year. So we can hope that we'll release some very successful movies this year, even more successful. Those are the three impacts. So over the whole year, and more specifically in Q4, these were one-offs that you won't have next year, but that goes some way towards explaining the EBIT for Q4. And regarding Orange and advertising, I won't surprise you when I say that we don't comment on advertisers and their advertising budget and their relative behaviors. So you won't be surprised by it. And I think that you should ask Orange rather than us. The only thing I may say is that when trying to look for a solution, of course, what we're trying to find is the best solution with them, to find a win-win. Orange managers like to say that they really liked the success of the campaign that was put in place, as well as the exceptional operation that we put in place last December that was very successful for them. So it's I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's something that, well, they recognize that last year's campaign for Christmas was wonderful. And Régis would like to say something. One addition, really. Well, we couldn't say whether Orange will cut their investment or not, but SFR did that last year, and that didn't make us shift one bit in our negotiation policy. That goes some way towards answering a question. Maybe another question? Coudray, two follow-up questions on that. Could you confirm first that the audience share that TF1 had, what is it vis-à-vis Orange customers? And then coming back to the guidance, to increase the operating margin rate for 2018. You said that it would be on a like-for-like basis. Could you consider like-for-like as being excluding new deals related to distribution by telcos? Or could that be included in the margin improvement? Well, even more than the guidance, of course it will participate. For the second question, no, we can't fully exclude any deal with telcos. You can exclude it even less, because I can't answer. I don't know which way these deals will pan out. Well, there are two where we signed a deal, but of course that will go some way towards improving profitability. But once again, it's like for like, a net of external growth acquisitions and without Aufeminin. Yet, for 2018, as we started doing as early as 2017 with SFR Altis, that includes revenues and a contribution coming from there. So we have scenarios including telco operators. Regarding the market share of Orange, well, you can take look at the share of their installed base for modems and boxes. Well, it's hard to calculate because the use of replay varies depending on the subscribers, so I would be quite cautious. There are figures that went around that are quite outlandish. We heard about 25-30%. An advertising expert called Philippe Nouchi at Publicis thought that it was around 5%. 5% maximum viewership of TF1. Don't forget that most people who are Orange subscribers can also watch TF1 on DTT. Any more questions? We'll probably stop here. Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for attending, and see you on the 12th of June. For those of you who are interested in our Investor Day, we'll have a more comprehensive view of Aufeminin in particular.